World Show with Nikki B.
Yes, talk about African music. This is exactly where we are heading now. And in fact, I'll be joined by two special guests, one of which is a little bit delayed because of transport, but I know he'll be here in the next 5 minutes or so. But the other one is right here, and I'm so pleased she's here because talk about long overdue, like 20 years overdue. So I'm so pleased you're here. Nosisi Ngakane from Kwani Experience. Welcome, Nosisi.
Thank you so much, Nikki. I'm so excited to be here. I was saying to Kwela when, you know, we secured the interview, I was like, please, can I come? Yeah. I really want to be on the Nikki Show. I want to be and experience what I listen to every Sunday. So I'm so glad
and
to be
I'm
here.
So pleased you're here because if I think of Kwani, Khonse's been here for other things. Yes. Frank's, I think, even been here.
Yeah, Bafana's
been a couple
here.
Of times. Yep. You know, but
I keep it low key.
Yeah. But Nosisi, great to have you here, and great to have you here as we are celebrating 20 years since Kwani Experience released their first album, The Birth of the Motherland Funk.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. I can't, you know, and as I was listening to this album, I was thinking, this is so relevant today.
Mm.
This is timeless music that set a precedent, that pioneered a sound, that broke boundaries in music. And I don't think you guys, because you were young at the time, I don't think you ever realized at that time, maybe in retrospect, how groundbreaking this music was.
Mm. No, you know, and this is a question we get, and even just how people have reacted to the music and responded to the music and us as individuals, as you get older, because if you think about it, we were in our 20s, early 20s,
yes.
19 to 25, basically.
Yes.
And you don't really know what you're doing. And I think all greatness starts like that. You know, you're in the moment. You have this youth about you where you're willing to take all the risks. You know, I ran away from home. It was very dramatic, but very typical of a band thing, right?
Yes.
But then in retrospect, after obviously 20 years, but even before, we started to understand the importance of the music when other bands started emerging. And kind of, it's like we opened up a portal, a little gateway that allowed young black talent to kind of merge who they are with like contemporary sounds like hip hop and R&B, which we all grew up listening to, but also like an introspection and a kind of inquiry into who we are as black people in this post-apartheid era also, which is really confusing music wise, you know?
Yes.
So I think the work is evident in who came after The Brother Moves
Absolutely.
On.
Absolutely.
You know, Ipupolgabiko, you know, that's when you really see that actually, you know, we were onto something.
Yes, and I remember even at the time talking about this and saying how it's like, this is a band where a grandparent and the grandchild are enjoying, it's jazzy enough mm-hmm. for the grandparent.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking 20 years ago,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and yet it's hip enough for a 19-year-old or a 20-year-old.
Exactly.
And that's one of the beauties of Kwani Experience.
Mm, I mean, it's a blessing, you know, because also a lot of the music, when we start trying to, you know, people are like, oh, how did you create this song? You know, music comes to you. There's something that Nsaki, I always love her reference of how if you're tapped in to the universe, all your songs already exist. And so you're merely like a portal to
yes.
bring the music into the real world for people to listen to. And I think that's when you, if you're tapped in like that, and we were really tapped in like that,
yes.
That's when the magic happens. That's when you create things that are outside of your control that will live longer than you are living, you know.
Absolutely. I'm so pleased you brought that up. I was actually thinking about that today, you know. Looking, even every week, 28 years, I still get nervous. But I was thinking, oh yes, you forgot. You just tap in to source,
yeah.
and then
it's
about alignment
yeah.
with
it's,
that, you
it
know.
It already exists.
Exactly.
Yeah, nothing new under the sun.
Yes. But now I'm going to take a little bit of an advantage since I have you here alone before Kwela joins us.
Okay.
Nosisi, who is she? What is her musical background? When did the music bug hit? Tell me a little bit about your journey.
So I have, I think, the typical story of all young girls singing. We started singing in the garage, all the R&B songs. And so I was already tapped into a collective called SATAB, and in that Black Sunday movement also. So I was doing a lot of like features, doing hooks. I was the hook girl with all the underground hip hop guys. And then where I kind of came to prominence to a degree was in the Expressions album. So Rage, the label Maria McCloy,
yes.
They released, I was on that compilation with Spiwe Ngwenya, Quest.
Thank you. I must go back and revisit that album.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that was also like a, it kind of set the stage, you know. But even there, I was like 18.
Yes.
So I was like, okay, you know, let's just mess around. We can do it, you know. And it became something, but I was still in school. Even then, I wasn't really thinking about music as a serious thing for my life. And then I was at Greenwich College, doing my A-levels, and I was friends with Tumaini Mabohwane, who was subsequently our first manager for Kwani Experience, and they were looking for a vocalist. After my understanding is that Ngutu was there before, and she went to university, and then they were looking for a new vocalist. And so he was like, oh, my friend can sing for you, because I used to convert all his poems into music.
Yes.
And so he was like, I think you should join this band. And I literally went for auditions, quote unquote, but I was like, from the first day, it's like, all right, cool. So there's rehearsals tomorrow. And that was a kind of snowball effect, because from there, there was absolutely no stopping this thing that I had no idea what I was entering into, because it completely took over my life.
Yes.
I dropped out of school. I left home for it. Like, it, there was an energy surge, which was like, you need to give everything that you have to this thing. And it wasn't a choice.
Yes,
it just
amazing.
Yeah.
And also, and possibly you can clarify on this, I think the history of Kwani Experience is also intertwined with Kaya, because it was, for me, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but it was at that point, I think it was Pat Cash at the time, one of the on-air presenters, who somehow got involved or started this competition.
Yes, the Totally Jazz Competition.
The Totally Jazz Competition.
Changed
so,
our lives.
You know, tell us a bit about that.
So we had already kind of created a movement with people who just loved our music and followed us. And we always used to say, to join the band, you don't have to audition. You just need to come to a show. And if you play with us, next week you'll be in the band, if you're consistent enough. And so we were doing places like Horror Cafe. Louis from Horror Cafe really kind of took us in and gave us the space for free.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that gig, or at least a couple that were there.
We would not be who we were if we didn't have the support of venues like Horror Cafe, Songwriters Club, etc. And then we heard of our manager, heard of the competition, a Totally Jazz Competition. It was sponsored by Standard Bank and Kaya FM and Share Music.
Yes.
And I don't, you know, because we're not really like competition type bands, but, you know, there was a record deal. We were thinking, okay, we need to actually take this thing to the next level. We have to record. And obviously then the resources were not as available as they are right now. And so we entered the competition, and, you know, we just kept on like, oh, you're in the finals. Oh, okay. You're in the semifinals. Oh, wow. And it's like, you won. We're like, what? Are you joking? And that really changed the trajectory for us. It took us from a self-hustle, self-starting band to a band with a team, with the record label, who, you know, we went into the SABC studios to record our first album, The Birth of the Motherland Funk, what we're celebrating today. But we also had people in the industry that we could, that really liked us. You know, I think it was Ntutu, if I'm not mistaken, from Sheer. She really like was a mother to us, people that guided us through the industry, that formalized our events to say, okay, now you guys can get onto festivals, you know, you can become a real thing, right?
Yes.
So That changed our, and we did our first tour also during that period as well. After the, I mean, you know, to go overseas, you need an album.
Yes.
That's not something that we knew.
Or perform in Cape Town. I remember you performed
at the Cape Town Jazz.
Yeah, yes.
You know, that was our first bad review.
Was it? I loved that show.
What was that lady's name? She was a big, Teresa Owen, I think.
Yes, it was Teresa Owen.
She was like, those people are prancing up around the stage. Can they take a bath or something? It was our first like real we're in the real world.
Yes.
This is what it comes with.
But I also remember that gig, and I was there, and the Cape Town audience...
They loved it.
The Cape Town audience was loving it.
They were very receptive.
In fact, it was so appropriate for Cape Town. It was like something they'd never heard and that they'd been waiting for. Oh, yes, Quayla's just... Welcome, Quayla. I'm going to put your mic on as well. So thank you for joining. Thank you for giving me a moment with Norsisi, because, of course, you are no stranger to the World Show. And she's long overdue here.
Well, we've spoken a lot of times. We've had a lot of conversations.
Yes.
So it's your turn now.
Yes. But I'm so pleased you joined us as well. We're looking a little bit at the history of the early days of Kwani Experience. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Talking about that, I think it's time for a song, and we're going to pick up on the story again. Cool. And of course, there's an added reason why these two beautiful people are in the studio with me today, and we're going to be talking about that on the other side of the first song. I want to play almost every song on both the albums. So I asked Norsisi, and I'm going to ask you, Quayla, as well, to help me choose a couple of songs. But I think Norsisi did mention this one, but I think this is one of those signature songs.
Definitely.
Of Kwani
and
Experience.
Also first played on Kaya FM, if I'm not mistaken.
Deja vu.
Oh, it was
YFM. Okay. Oh, yes.
Oh, we don't.
Yes, that's okay.
Okay.
So, tell me about Deja Vu. Do you remember back then recording it? What it meant? Who wrote the lyrics? And how the process went?
It's always I don't know what it is for Quayla, but for me, like I said, I have very little memory around the creation of the songs. But understanding the essence of the song, that nothing under the sun is new. And
yes,
this is what we were talking about
yes
earlier. And that we are all just everything that we're doing, we're building on and making better, but it's very familiar. And so
yes,
a lot of the music that we listened to and we were playing was music that we referenced from our parents and our grandparents and reworked, you know, in our way. So for me, that's what the song represents.
And in terms of, on a song like this, in terms of the lyrics, were they, you wrote your part, Quayla wrote his,
yeah, so
Bafana
one,
chimed in.
Yeah, this one, I wrote my lyrics.
Yes, yes. The song actually came together at her old school.
Talk a little bit closer, please. Thanks, Quayla.
The song Deja Vu actually came together at Norsisi's old school.
Ah.
Triple A, up the road.
Mm. Yes.
And we were performing there. I don't know what it was, but there was an event, and it just came together. Not at the event, but I think we were sound checking or afterwards.
Yes.
And I remember it came, yeah.
And then later you recorded it, obviously.
Yes, we later recorded
yes
it.
Yes. Yes, beautiful. Let's play this track, and as I say, one of Kwani Experience's signature tracks, Deja Vu, of the album A Birth of the Motherland Funk.
Timeless South African treasures on The World Show with Nikki B.
Introduction, Kwani Experience, 2005, to Cairo, from Jozi, straight out of Joburg, Deja Vu.
Hit by Deja Vu, past presented as a future too, under the sun there's nothing new, situations, consequences, circumstances.
Elevation is gateway to incarnations. Wombs are passages, birth the ushering of ages. Ages gone and ages to come. We have come. Feet as a hum, hot drum, tracks run to free souls. Behold, be on hold for a fresh age, fresh breath, newborn beginnings. Stories told in rhythm, life is still living. Even though death is mad vivid, we've been here, but it's not clear. The journey of life is roughly rigid. Give it the nectar of life so I can sip it. Give it the nectar of life so I can sip it. Give it the oasis of life so I can sip it. Give it the spring of life so I can sip it. No CC sing it,
oh no.
Maybe sing it,
oh no.
Maybe sing it.
By deja vu, past presented as a future too, under the sun there's nothing new, situations, consequences, circumstances, another sun there is nothing new, under the sun there is nothing new, under the sun there is nothing new, situations, consequences, circumstances.
vision, repetition, vision, mission. No gimmicks, addiction to life, decision-making process. Breathe life into your cortex, onset. In the theater of life, the sun, the spotlight. It is thy time to shine. We are our ancestors and God in disguise.
Hit by deja vu. Past presented as the future too. Under the sun there is nothing new. Situations, consequences, circumstances. Under the sun there is nothing new. Under the sun there is nothing new. Under the sun there is nothing new. Situations, consequences, circumstances. Deja vu. Past presented as the future too. Under the sun there is nothing new. Situations, consequences, circumstances.
Under the sun.
But I would have a
experience deja vu. The sound is, I was just saying before you arrived, Kwela, the sound is so fresh. The lyrics are so relevant today. This really is groundbreaking music that lives on, eternal music. Absolutely beautiful. Yeah, you'll have to talk a little bit closer to the mic. Yeah, amazing. One thing I want to know, Kwani experience, where did the name come from? Nosisi points to Kwela.
Yes. And I would point to Frank.
To Frank, yeah. Yeah.
Frank and Madite, probably to Maine as well. Kwani is Kwani, you find Kwani in a couple of languages. You find it in Nguni languages. You find it in Swahili, you know. There's a publication in Kenya, Kwani Press. They used to confuse us with that. Every time when you search Kwani, that's actually what comes up.
Yes.
And they kept it going for so long that they've hit us with the search engine optimization.
Yes.
But Kwani is of what?
Kwani.
Ukwaini,
yes.
There's always a joke. Mamfag, the selector, always makes a joke. They used to call her Kwani at school because her surname is Kwanini.
Okay.
So you find the word in that variation as well, Kwanini.
Yes. You know. Beautiful.
That's it was like, of what? We were not sure what this experience is. We couldn't put it into words, and we still cannot, you know, kind of like classify it, compartmentalize it, and be like, this is, we weren't sure what it was, but we understood the energy, and that the best way for the energy to come through was through the music itself, you know.
Yes.
And obviously it was eight very different people. Eight people speak different languages from different backgrounds, but when we're in a room with music, everything just comes together.
Magic.
So it's almost like there's this energy, this prophecy, like you said, that guides us, that says this is what needs to be done and this is what is required of the music, as you know.
I think, and I was thinking about this on the way, I almost want to pay tribute to the original members. Tell us about each individual member and maybe what they, where they are now. Let's go through the eight. So I've got Nosisi here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had Madite.
Mwalusi.
Mwalusi, who was the drummer. And now... Now we're doing a Bakai. Yeah, where are they now?
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's in business.
He's in business. And then we have Bafana Ntlapo.
Yes.
Who is, where does he live?
In Oslo.
In Norway,
Oslo.
Yes.
Yeah. Still doing music, from my understanding.
Yes.
And doing well.
Yes.
We've got Frank. Frank is in...
He's in Belgium.
Based in Belgium. Partially doing music, but also a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
Yes.
Then we have Mahlatsi, who was on the keys. Kwela. yes. on the poems. Tumaini, our original manager
yes.
and keeper of us.
Yes.
An original rapper, actually.
An original rapper,
when
also.
Yes. When professional.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
That's it.
Khonse.
Oh, yeah, Khonse, sorry. Yes. Yeah, Khonse. Yeah, sorry. Khonse yes. Mahene, percussionist.
Jambo.
Everyone knows him.
Yes.
Still. Jambo.
Yes.
He was our sax, is the sax player in the band. He's in the Eastern Cape also now,
in business,
also
yeah.
in business.
Yes.
Yeah.
So and there were some that were clever and went into business.
Yeah, yeah, no, I don't know.
Circumstance.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I'm just joking.
I mean,
yeah.
We're all now in business. But
well, you know, ways, even yeah. Quella is in corporate
in
now.
Corporate. I'm in corporate. You gotta find the balance. But there are also other people. I mean, I think one thing that we need to, when we talk about Kwani Experience, it's not just about the band members.
Yes.
We had a community
yes.
of people that allowed us to be. We had Ntombi and Mase Gegea. We went to school together at AAA. And when I was entering into the band, they entered in too and became such a major support system just in terms of places to rehearse. We all lived at Masa's house in Naturena. It became like the headquarters of Kwani Experience. I'm sure her parents were not happy because they bought her that house because she's from Polokwane and she
yes.
was here to study. And she just also, it was a movement, something that I think a lot of young people needed. And it was so important that it's like, even if you're not a member of the band, you are a member of the band.
A part of the movement.
You are a part of the movement, you know. And I think a lot of the people, even that kind of reference us or love us still today, who were with us back then, those are the stories that they tell. It's like, you guys were with me. I am you. You are me. There was never, we're the band. And no, it's like, if you want to join, come. You
yes.
want to come to the show, come. There's
yes.
a squad
yes.
know, of people. And I think it's important to mention those people because they were very important in our development.
Yeah, and I think it's so important you mention that just in terms of any band or, you know, or collective, that there are those people who are often the unnamed ones
yeah.
who what they bring might not be, they might not play an instrument, but they're bringing something else. They're bringing an energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a contribution there. There's a collective.
Yeah, and those people are still, and all those people are still in the arts
mm-hmm.
and doing well. Mm-hmm. Ntombi, like
Ntombi's
she mentioned.
On radio.
Ntombi
yes.
Meso. She
yeah.
used to be a
yes.
Kai as well.
She was
yes.
a Kai
yes.
also. Yeah, exactly.
I was talking to someone the other day about, I think it was Sims, mm-hmm. and I was saying that the community is still there. You know, if you think of people like Opa Nkosi, photographer, mm-hmm. still
yes.
photographer.
Yes.
Muntu Vilagazi, still selecting.
Yeah. Yes.
Vatiso, I'm not sure Vatiso
Nikki
is.
Nikki B is still on
Nikki
there.
B.
Yeah. still in the place to be.
Nikki
yeah.
B is still here. And I mean, obviously, Kaya was a part of the Totally Jazz Showcase.
Yeah.
Kaya was the media partner, so mm. our footing, our first kind of like radio interviews were at Kaya when you were still on by Bolton.
Exactly, you know, the original, yeah. mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
So the community is still there, has grown. There's a lot of them.
So pleased you mentioned that because I know I've done it, and I can't imagine how many others, when you talk about this community, have said, when is Kwani coming together again? When is Kwani making it? So the good news is, tell us a little bit about what's happening this month.
So this show, we have a show 25 October. This community we're talking about, this show on the 25th is kind of, it is that. It's the,
it's them.
It's facilitating that community. This thing started last year with the 340 show
yes.
at the same venue. And when 340 performed, everyone said, cool, then next time it should be Kwani.
Wasn't it earlier this year?
It was October. No, it was, it was exactly a year.
Oh, wow,
yeah,
yes.
If not October, maybe November.
Yes.
But everyone,
with
Ratanang Agency, everyone said,
yes.
the next act you should book should be Kwani. And people started writing to Ratanang.
Mm.
So we have a show on the 25th. It's Kwani Experience. It's Kulichana. Again, people don't know that Kulichana, we've been
part of the journey,
yeah.
Part
yes.
of the
yeah.
journey forever. Half of Kwani Experience played on WHP's album, first album, Omang,
yes.
you know, Khonse, Frank Madite, and Kuli was also a part of that. We saw DJ Kenzero was
yes.
also on the lineup. That's like our big brother.
Yeah.
He's
always followed us. We've always followed him. We've shared stages with him.
Mm.
He's booked us for Party People. Mm. We've played the Bohemian. We went to Reunion Island and played
yes.
very... We still kind of, we're still close. People like the music on the lineup. TKZ, obviously. TKZ is like childhood inspiration.
Yes.
The brother moves on again. Mm. People we met 20 years ago, exactly 20 years ago, we met Sia. I'm telling you, in Grahamstown, while it was still called Grahamstown National Arts Festival, that's where we met CM Tembu, and we are here.
Today, tell us on the 25th, where, what time, where can people get tickets?
So 25th October at Kromdraai, which is in the Nyrox area by the Cradle of Mankind. And people can buy their tickets on Howler. I think it's on Howler. So if you follow the Ratanang page on Instagram, they are always posting the link. It's in their link in the bio. You can also follow us individually on our Instagram pages. I'm Nosisi _ Earthchild _ Nogukanya _ Ngakadi, which is not practical. But just Nosisi, whenever you type Nosisi, it comes up. And then Gwela as well. And people can buy their tickets online there. And they're selling fast, apparently.
So is this an event that starts early in the day, or is it an evening event? Tell us.
It's a day event. It starts 12 midday until 12 midnight. Like I mentioned, there's all these amazing DJs. Kid Funk is another person I didn't mention, who we've been on this journey with.
Yes.
Also ever since. The music,
Kepu Pendi,
Mam Thug. And the other acts.
Yes.
So it's a picnicking event. People are bringing
family.
Yes.
Really chilled. Kromdraai Hub. I think they just had a big house event there now. I think it must have been Dakapo, LSG, Cairo. I don't remember the lineup, but I think it's the same road as
It's directly opposite, actually.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Beautiful. There's so much happening. I don't know what we're going to choose.
I was saying to someone, I'm actually, you know, I come from a time when we didn't get international acts. We always got the ones that were like struggling to get a gig that side, and they'd come here and they're a hit. And now it's like we are so spoiled for choice. I think I don't know how. You know, I always feel like this is the time when promoters and artist community alike come together to figure it out now, because there's clearly some budget somewhere, right?
Yes.
So we've got the opportunity to create you know, how Europe has their kind of festival season or whatever.
Yes.
Like, let's all invest to build this thing, because it's all like happening at the same time. This past weekend we had Back to the City, you know, it was Lupe Fiasco. On the same day, it was Travis Scott. The week before, it was Joy of Jazz. We had Esperanza Spalding.
Yes.
We had Designer. It's like, whoa, hold on.
But this is what Joburg should be like.
Yeah, definitely.
Actually, music 11 season. Months of the year.
Yes.
It should be the center of music and arts.
And arts. It
should be.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know. It's definitely one of the best cities in the world. Mm. I mean, if you've been to other cities, Joburg, culturally, we have a lot to offer. And it's not just Joburg. Joburg is one city.
One center,
Durban,
yeah.
It's Pretoria. Mm.
But I also found in, you know, some years there have been dips and waves.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dips in the wave where there's no venues and nothing's happening. And you think, wow, this is like one of Africa's most cosmopolitan cities. Mm. This should be like when I go to Paris or London, for example, where I'm fighting for choice.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, should I go to Kwani? Should I go to Trev the Japanese? Should I? You know, that's how it should be every day, every weekend.
Every weekend, yes. I agree,
and I think that speaks to what Gnosis is saying. There's no coherence.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
No cohesion.
Yes.
You know, we've spoken about this. We did kind of a bit of a study with Bradley and DJ Bob back in the day. The dip happens, and especially with live music, where live music disappears for like 5 years and then comes back and then disappears again. But we need everything to kind of be level. You know, I was at the... We were at the Hilton Schilder show last week, Sunday.
Yes.
I felt robbed of good music. It was such a beautiful, amazing experience.
The music was
Africa Freedom Station.
Mm. Yes.
The music wasn't loud. The musicians were amazing. The music itself was amazing. And you really start to miss the variety and of having different venues in the city.
Like
we did in 2005, we would go hop from Songwriters Club to Kipis, to Hara Cafe, go to Ilovo, go to Santin, all over the place.
Yes.
Go to a rock show, go to a jazz show.
Yes.
Go from a jazz show, go to a hip-hop show, and that's how it was.
Yes. But now at this event on the 25th, Kwani experiences playing, but obviously you can't get all the original members. So is this a kind of an evolution of the collective?
I wouldn't say, and we've definitely tried our best to get the other two guys, Frank and Bafana, here.
Yes.
I think financially it just wasn't possible with flights, etc. But, you know, I think with bands, you're always able to, you know, bring in other instrumentalists, even though, you know, no one can take Frank's place in terms of the way he plays the bass, and no one can replace what Bafana does within the band, you know. But you try your best. But I don't think you would say it's an evolution of sort. We're taking it as the 20 years in full. So in the 20 years, there's also been Nkutu, who played a very prominent role in the band also. So it's a culmination of our journey over the past 20 years. And even the musicians that we're playing with are part of our community.
Absolutely.
You know, they know us, you know.
Yes.
So... yeah, I would say, and I wanted to just add on to something that Gwela said around how this event happened. You know, over the years, I personally tried to run away from music. I was in advertising. I was like, I am done with this life. And, you know, there is that community that consistently brings you back and says, hey, you don't get that choice. Like, you don't get to say I'm done. We will tell you when we are done. And so there's been a call, you know, online to say, Kwani experience reunion. So some of those people that now see us on the lineup are like, yes, our cries worked. You know?
See, this is what I'm saying. Yeah, I said to Kwela the last time, I think he was on the World Show for his own album, but when is Kwani experience
coming? Yeah. Because of what you say, that it is absolutely relevant right now as a band. And, you know, who knows what the evolution of, you know, kind of coming back to do shows bit by bit, what that's going to do, because we're obviously all in very different spaces now. We've grown up, we've got kids, you know, it's a whole different person now that you're dealing with. But this is not something that we chose. And so I think we also just allow it to do it what it did before, which is just naturally work itself out, you know, because we didn't plan anything that happened. And so I think, what do they say about planning? You know, God has got the plans. We don't have the plan.
Yes. You know, so and 20 years since the first album in 2005. Yeah. And I think that's a perfect time. So it, as you say, it's all worked out.
Yeah.
Let's hear another song. This one has been chosen by Kwela. Today's song. Tell us about today's song, Kwela.
I just love the song.
Yes.
I love the song. And, now that you ask, I remember how it came about. The song came about, we're at Masa's house, Masa Khehe's house in Naturena. And there's a guy Frank played with in a Celtic band. And he played harmonica. I don't remember the guy's name. And the song was inspired by a project Questlove did called Philadelphia Experiment. They had there's one of their songs that we were so obsessed with.
And
that's what kind of inspired the song. We came up with the song on a Saturday afternoon, and Saturday evening we went and performed it at a friend's birthday in somewhere in the West End. Not West End, but around your Vlieghof area. So I just love the song. I love the progression of the song. I love the intro to the song. I love her verses in the song. I think the songwriting there is one of my favorite written songs. That song is one of my favorite written songs. And also, I do very minimal on the song.
Yes.
And I like that myself. Yeah.
And I was listening to it on my way here, actually. Oh, and I thought, today's song. Mm. 20 years ago, it was today's song. Yeah. And today, it is today's song. Kwani Experience, Nosisi and Kwela with us on The World Show.
Back to the rhythm and beat.
Drop the beat. Faster than you can double tap our Insta
at Kaya on 959.
Bring it back. On the street.
On the air.
Timeless of African treasures on The World Show with Nikki Gili. We'll be right back.
forever remain today's song.
Song.
Will 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 forever remain today's song.
Song.
Forever remain today's song.
Song.
Will forever remain today's song. Will forever remain today's song.
Song.
Will forever remain today's song. Will forever remain today's song.
Song.
Will forever remain today's song.
Song.
Will forever remain today's song.
Song.
Will forever remain today's song.
Song.
Will forever remain today's song.
Song.
Kaya 959.
That's what was there.
Yeah. Yes, I love that.
Yeah.
You can tell I wasn't looking as it finished. Absolutely beautiful. You know, it just is bringing back so many memories, because also for me, the late 90s, the early 2000s were very much the birth of what was then called acid jazz, but in effect was new jazz, because acid jazz could kind of be anything. I remember having a Manu Dibango track on an acid jazz compilation, or a Latin track, and all of this was part of this new wave of what was broadly called acid jazz, and later I think become known as, I don't know, new jazz. New jazz. You guys were at the forefront, because this pulls so much on South African jazz tradition. As much as you say you were influenced by R&B, you were influenced by hip hop, these albums draw so much on, where does that come from? Looking at both of you, Nosisi spoke a little bit about her early days, but where does that kind of deep understanding of, you know, South African jazz traditions come?
It comes from our love for it, firstly. Of course, obviously in the music, some of the band members studied jazz. Mahlatsi studied at FUBA, the former FUBA, Federated Union of Black Arts. I don't think Frank studied jazz. Mahlatsi and Marita actually were the jazz students. Frank was always playing everything.
But he was at NSA, right?
Yeah, he was at NSA.
Yes, a lot of you were at NSA, and I suppose you were exposed to...
Yes, there was that exposure, but we all just love... I mean, we used to sit and listen to Zim Ngawana, Salif Keita...
Babegi
Mseleko.
Yes.
We used to... Moses Mbelelekwa, if you play any Moses Mbelelekwa song, we'll sing it from... start to finish with
to eat those songs,
solos, all the piano.
But again,
solos,
you were 19, 20, 22, whatever. Mm. You were all, you know, this for me is so beautiful, because this what you came up with allowed others, as I said earlier.
Yes. I mean, the one part that I mentioned is the jazz part, is the also the repatriating, going back to Sankofa. It was a Sankofa moment for us. It was going back to our roots. We were all trying to figure out who we are, because, you know, we're in Joburg. Some of us, especially myself and Nosisi, at least people like Frank and Mahlatsi have somewhere to go to in Limpopo.
Yes.
I mean, Nosisi kind of rooted as well in KZN, but we were Joburg. I mean, we met in a hip-hop cypher outside Horror Cafe, rapping. Me playing the drum. So we also come from like a hip hop background. Mahlatsi, as much as I mentioned the jazz, also comes from a dance background.
He's
still very involved
in house music.
He was performing with Dakapo 2 weeks ago. He just came back from Kenya. Bafana was always involved in the poetry scene, recording with Rude Boy Paul, because he had this distinct voice that today you find very prominent in music, you know, and I wouldn't say he pioneered that, but I was saying he's one of the few people to record with that kind of voice. If you think of when I listen to someone like Kekeling or Mbuso Khoza, etc., Bafana was doing that that he was very brave in doing that, as a djembe player. Him and Khonzi again and Raga with Lep as a trio of djembe players that morphed into what Lep became then when you added these other instruments. So it was that Jumbo was very passionate with saxophone. So it was a confluence of all of those coming together, and that's where the kind of experience aspect of it
comes in.
Also, you know, there's, if I'm thinking, and I'm just thinking about it now, that, you know, they are always movements. There's a perception that kids don't love jazz. Mm.
Yes.
And kids do love jazz.
Well, but again, you guys played a huge role in that. I experienced that, you know.
I wonder, because we were part of a community already of other people. So we didn't start anything. We just found our community of people and we all moved together, you know, and everybody honed their love for the jazz in different ways. So, like, others would hone it through photography, and others, we honed it through music. But as a collective, as kids during that era, we were part of that movement.
Yeah. Yes.
I think it's also because we took it to radio. We took it to TV.
Yes.
It was this bold group of early 20s kids who are very bold in making, this is how we make music, and this is how we are going to do it. We're not going to do it like everybody else. And yes, it's going to be jazzy. And you're you're going to love it. The poet Makafula Vilakazi once said, you know, what he loved about Kwani was that we brought that intellectual and jazz thing back to the hood.
Yes.
You know, we were not even performing. I mean, we performed in Soweto a lot and did other pop-ups in other neighborhoods, but we were mostly a Joburg downtown band. But that's his experience. He says when he heard us, he kind of then got inspired to say, oh, you can actually do this thing. It's, no, you don't have to dumb down. You don't have to go the backtrack route. You know, you don't have to go mainstream or do what everybody else does. You can actually do, you can actually be authentic and do this. And I mean, to an extent, to a degree, I agree with Nosisi, because Moses Kumalo comes to mind. Moses Kumalo was young.
Yes.
But when we started, he was kind of already a bit older.
Yes.
He was in his late 20s.
Mm. Yes. I think he'd released his first album.
Yeah. So people like Mleleko was very young when he released Finding Oneself.
Yes.
And in fact, all these Balis were young when they released their first album.
Yes.
You know, Brafair was very young when you look at it. You're like, what? He was that young. Actually, you don't think
he's
that
this elder you always admire.
But when you look back, you're like, these people were actually very young. So we were just a continuation of that.
But I also think you represented this new era in South Africa and in the world in many ways.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, for me, what comes to mind with a group like Kwani Experience is the underground over being brought overground.
Yeah, literally.
Yes. Without becoming commercial, you know, without selling out, or now we're going to make a pop album or whatever. Mm. That underground sound became overground.
Yes. Yeah. It was almost like we were doing it for ourselves.
Yes.
Not for people. We're doing it for this is what feels good.
You and your community. You and the immediate community.
Yeah, of course there are other things where you're like, we're not, in some instances we're not thinking straight.
Yes.
Business wise or money wise. But we had teams. I mean, the Sheer Sound team was a very good team, Ntutuko and them. We had a good team behind us that was doing the kind of like the business aspect, the music business aspect of it. But on our, and you know, you look back and you're like, oh, we could have thought more of radio.
Yes.
Oh, we could have taken that advice.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, let's do a radio edit. But we're very militant.
Yes. We were very militant.
But I mean, even the lyrics, even the songs, the rapping, so much of it is kind of socially conscious lyrics.
Yeah. We were Rasta. We were reading. I think it's such a, you know, most bands, you know, start out in the garage and they're passionate about a topic, and for us, you know, it was all about self-discovery, this like understanding who we are as urban black kids who come from, we were the chosen generation also to say, this is the youth of South Africa that is going to turn everything around. Mm. Not really recognizing that we are caught in this like kind of conundrum of like all these expectations, but also at the same time, the world is not receptive to us. The systems are still very much in place, you know, and we are also being exposed to a lot of American sounds, etc., and we're just trying to find ourselves. And so, you know, we had, our songs were long for the album, it's yes. fine, but we could do a 2-hour show, 3-hour show. Like when we were performing at Horror Cafe, there wasn't a supporting act. It yes. would be us yes. the whole night just playing nonstop. Do you know what I mean? Where so much so that we developed that muscle in us that we, you know, we don't perform for 45 minutes to an hour. Yes. So when we started now entering into the formal space where people are booking us for shows and it's very strict because there's other people on the lineup, time, because yes. now we're fighting to say, no, one more song, you know what I mean? But it really was that we were consuming a lot of literature. We were reading a lot. We were talking and thinking. When we are talking, yeah. we're engaged with photographers, with actors, more yes. you know, visual yes. artists, etc. And we're actually the core. The reason why we had this community is because these are the discussions we were having. And we were not just doing it alone. There was the Black Sunday movement also that was doing it. South African kids were looking for identity, yes. something that resonated with them. And so I think a lot of the lyrics, it comes from the conversations that we knew. It's just like, this is what we need to say. This is what we're talking about anyway. Let's put it in song format.
Beautiful. So the first album came out in 2005, Birth of the Motherland Funk. And then 2 years later, I think it was 2007, if I'm not mistaken, Live After Birth, or Live After Birth, or Live After Birth.
Askund.
Yeah. I think I did once, and he said it's both. Yeah, both. It's both. Yeah. I suddenly had a flash of that answer. Yeah. Yes, it's both. So that came on. That, I think, if I also remember, because I didn't check, but the memory's coming as we're talking, was produced by Tlale Makgene. Or he had a huge part, played a huge part in the production. And Tlale Makgene, of course, being one of our master percussionists, who's the brother of Khonse. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was produced by Tlale Makgene and Victor Masondo. Mm.
That's right. Yes.
And actually, Bravig played some guitar on the album. If you listen to this album and the previous one,
yes,
there's a slight difference. The second album is more produced. It's actually my favorite album.
Yes,
but
I can't choose.
Most of the band members love the first album. I like the first album because it's raw and there are certain elements. But the second album is cleaner, is more, you know, constructed.
Yes.
Also because the process was different. With the first album, we were rehearsing, and then recording.
Yes.
Second album, we rehearsed, but we also did pre-prod.
Mm. Yes.
We did a lot of pre-prod at my old house in Bass Valley.
Yes.
Until 3 a.m, just getting the album
Now
ready.
We know what we want to do, what yeah. we want, where we want to go. Yes.
Yes.
But
it was produced by Pratlale and Victor Masondo. And it's Live and Both Live. Live After Birth and Both. I actually forgot that it's also Live After Birth.
Live After Birth.
Live After Birth.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to try and squeeze in 2 songs because I think we have to. Mm-hmm. So I might have to fade one of them. But I think let's play both. This one comes off the album, the second album, Live After Birth, Friends for Life. Mm. Anything you want to say about this track?
No, I mean, for me, it goes back to that community thing. We had friends, we had people that supported us, that fed us, you know, and this was really about, I think the energy was really from there, this community of people we were part of.
And I love the fact that it brings us back to community. This is something that so many of us have lost over the years. Mm. And this is a reminder, and I think what's going on in the world is also a reminder. Community is where it's at.
Mm. Higher.
959.
Timeless South African treasures on the World Show with Nikki Gili.
Chokazi, brother from another mother, died for the cause. Me and you going down in storybooks. We showed all of them that used to give us looks. All of them haters that thought we were crooks. Now they get booked out, exposed by the crowd. 20 experience, we're friends for life, time and time again.
We are Kwane Bangane, Badilami, Moya Wami, Soul Badis Kaslami, forever souls. Eternal roads, one like paternal molds, maternal embryos, left your souls. Huga man, no more woman, Bazo Gubatula man, House Ashebi that we have overcome the Bantustan, sing a Bantusan. Pray for a unified, a gathered Sudan. You and us, if we are tight, we can be the rulers in this crooked, crooked world of those who want to crook us, fool us. Ritokua, even when they boo us. Maros can juda like Judas, don't let the mula rule us. Obneas make like Chuba. Lay how cooler face to death, we're still friends in good and bad. Friends for life, just like they steal on the right one. Even Albert Nizara, the return of the Bafana's Gazlam. 99 in low times and high times. You get played under your nose, in your face, papama. True friendship is like munwana linala. Mfuna umhlobo wenene, hai imene mene. True friends could be your family. So firstly, give thanks to the heavenly, meaning creator and creation universally. And secondly, give thanks to the families, the tribes and the clans who give birth to me and you, my friend. And I give thanks to a friend and to a friend. Love your foes, they play a role. Me, I am I. Introspect, retrospect. When I jack, am I me, am I and I make me, you don't make me. You only help make me. I am my own enemy. You cannot break me. I will give thanks to the masses. Give thanks to the races. For the undiscovered cousins. Give thanks for the chances. Every man deserves a second chance.
Kaya 959. I'm so sorry that I have to fade. You know, I hate fading songs. But we've got to end the show now. Yes, Kwane Experience, friends for life. And they're right here with me in the studio. I'm so happy that you guys are coming together for the show. Let's just do it once again. 25th happening.
25 October, Grom Dry.
Creative Hub.
Creative Hub is Sounds of the Cradle. That's the name of the show. Go and check out the Ratanang social media pages to get your tickets. Tickets are available on Howler.
And it's an amazing lineup.
Incredible lineup. TKZ, Brother Moose on, Kulichana, Kwane Experience, Mam Thug, Ken Zero, Kid Funk,
the music,
Ken Ubendi.
And come with the family. You can come early. Yes.
Bring your kids.
Bring the kids. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. Now the next thing I'm going to say is, so when is the next Kwane Experience album? Let's hope it happens soon.
I think we have to leave those things to God.
Yes.
Like how it happened before, it shall happen again.
I'm pleased the revival is happening, so that it's creating that energy.
Yes, 100%. The ripple effects.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Thank you both so much for joining me and for this beautiful, timeless music. And we're going to end with one song that Kwela chose, and I'm so pleased you chose this song. It's one of my favorites. Chant Down Fear.
Yep.
Talk about relevant. This was released in 2007 on the second album of Kwane, and listen to it.
Yep.
Anything you want to say?
Chant down fear. Chant down fear. Work on that fear. Fear rules us.
Yes.
And we shouldn't. And I think where the world is right now, there's a lot of fear.
There's a lot of
that
fear
we have to work through.
Yes.
And really overcome and overpower.
And in this country, I often say, you know, I don't want to live as a, you know, working nights, being creative, you guys know, mm-hmm. and you're driving home late yep. at night, whatever. Mm-hmm. Don't live in fear, but mm-hmm. live with awareness.
Yep.
Look what's going on around you.
Mm. Also, on the other side of fear is what is new. If we continue to operate in fear, you're afraid to start a new sound. You're afraid to play new music. You're afraid to open up a new business. Kanti, you don't know that that thing is... 10, 20 years down the line is what it's meant for. So yes. We on the other side of fear is life.
Thank you so much. What a beautiful way to end this feature. I'm going to play Chant Down Fear of Kwani Experience's second album, Live After Birth, or Live After Birth. Live After Birth. Let's end it that way. And of course, thank you so much for being with me on today's journey. Sure, it's my absolute pleasure. I wish we had more time to play more songs and chat some more. But whatever else you do this week, make sure you keep shining. Of course, keep at Kaya, and coming up now to end the show, Chant on Fear.
Kaya 959
on the streets,
on the air, in African music, on the World Show with Nikki B.
ke mariri mahlo masweu ngwana mo bumetsi tja jimo ya ba go sagwe re bo ra phela ra fenya lehu re bo ra ja medu rana mela mitlari ye metelele rana mela dithaba marung ke motho wa motho motho wa batho batho ke batho ka botho botho ke botho ka motho motho ke motho ka batho re matopa a go hema ba betli ba go betwa ke mo betli wa bogologolo tala ge go sale tala tala ka kgokolo di sa bolela betla mata ke a ga go fears of failure, dream dreams, believe, achieve, succeed and be, whatever you see in you, you'll be, don't be scared of the crime, no more violence and death, no more suicides, chant down those insecurities, worries and grief, chant down low self-esteem, complex of inferiorities and self-pity, re tlogele go tshaba magoa, re be matona a rona, o motho wa motho, motho wa batho, motho ka batho, batho ke batho ka motho, bolaya lenyatso, bolaya letshogo, bolaya go fear.
stop the music.
Don't stop.
Rhythm and beat.
We are Kaya 959.